Yes.
You back? Okay. Yeah. Y'all, can you hear me, Capo? I hear you, brother.
I can hear you, my guy. I'm all ready. Right,
man. Let me know if you can hear this.
Yes, I can hear that shit, man. We are back.
We're back, man. Man, smartphones acting dumb, man. You ain't gonna steal our joy. You can't hold us down, man. I got my dose and it's strong enough to get me through the most. You heard?
Man. That's it, man. So yeah, Bobby. So man, that's what we were saying. I'm feeling good, you're feeling good. I was saying I'm feeling great today because we found out that we have Project Pat coming Saturday, and we found out that the tickets have sold out. There is no more tickets to go see Project Pat live, so we are super hype about that, man. Bobby, I know you're feeling great as well. What's going on in your world, man? Why are you feeling so good today?
Man, I'm feeling so good, man. I'm almost feeling as good as your man's, though.
Who's that?
Man, Mace. I don't know if you've been in the news lately, but Mace is finally getting his publishing back from Diddy, Cameron says. It was Cameron announced, per sources on the internet, Cameron announced that Mace is getting his publishing back from Puff. You know, they've been battling back and forth. Mace offered him $2 million. Puff said, now you owe me $3 million. And so I guess they finally worked it out. They're going to make it happen. I don't know. I wasn't in the room, but congratulations to you, Mace. Get that money back. Let's go.
I wonder if he's getting back pay.
Hey, man, I don't know. Diddy been eating good off of it for a minute. It's like he been holding it hostage in a headlock, getting them dividends. And man, I had enough.
Yeah. Nah, it wasn't that. It wasn't he had enough. He finally got some good lawyers that could get that shit back for him. I don't think it was something where he had enough.
I'm sure he could have kept fighting it. I'm sure he could have kept fighting. It comes to a point where it's not even worth trying to fight it. You just be like, all right, man. All right.
Well, because he probably knows it was wrong. You know what I'm saying? He's probably like, man,
that's the thing. Yeah. Like, and it's, that's what crazy about the music business is, man. That lets you know, like, paperwork, man, can, like, that's everything. So, like, a lot of these artists, you know, you get them when they're young and you throw a little bit of money up front, they'll sign anything. And then 10 years down the line, they done had 4 or 5 hit records. Why they ain't getting no checks no more? It's because you got pencil whip, son.
Well, I mean, you speaking of young artists signing anything with paperwork in front of them, and that's what Bun B was recently talking about in an interview. He said that, you know, a lot of times is what happens with younger artists is they'll slap this contract, an 80-page contract down in front of you with like 4 yellow tabs sticking out the side. And when you read those places where the yellow tabs, it's kind of like, oh, you know, how many videos do you want? You want this many videos? All right, well, you get that. How much money, advance money you want? Well, this is it. And then they'll have a checkbook sitting right next to the contracts and shit to get you to go through and just sign those 4 pages, not knowing that you just basically signed a fucking death certificate. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, so, man. That's how they mind fuck you, that Jedi mind trick, man. It's like they weaponize the money and the stardom and be like, you want this? Sign right here. Don't read all. You don't have to read all that. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. Don't read all that fine print. Yeah. Oh, shit. Jorilla said Mace is going to get the entire 40 mil from all the record sales.
Did he get it? He got it. You got it. Go ahead.
Now I know why you're feeling good, Bobby. If you feel like you just got like a $40 million check.
Hey, man, this is a route. I got some shit bubbling and cooking like a witch's brew, if you ain't know. But yeah,
that's
man.
That's it.
Absolutely, man. It's gonna be a good one, man. We got a dope guest on the line today, man. You know, we're in full rotation, man.
Yes, sir. So yeah, if you're listening, go ahead and hit that call in button, man, so we can go ahead and get you in and get ready. And like Bobby said, we got a good one, man. Today's topic of discussion: has the DIY artist killed quality control for hip-hop? Now, I want you to understand, do it yourself artists, and that's what this whole game in the industry has come to. And me and Bobby were talking about this earlier, and we kind of got to a point where we were discussing it and saying, you know, and I know I'm probably gonna get fucking a lot of heat for saying this, bro, but right. Master P came into the game and turned it around to where it was, and it was the big thing to do it yourself, right? And months ago, me and Bobby were talking about how we loved some of the Master P projects, but we were like, damn, none of them were mixed or mastered properly, right? Like, because once again, DIY, they were doing it themselves. They weren't hiring the right people. The artwork wasn't to standard, to industry standard.
In the beginning.
Yeah, in the in the beginning, I mean, Pen and Pixel did an alright job, but the artwork was still nowhere near what the industry standard was for some of these albums. Even the photo shoots, all the way down, even the quality of the artist. I mean, Silk the Shocker can't write a beat worth shit. You know what I'm saying? So you got to look at it. It comes to think, is like, is it more of the consumers just digesting the? Is it about the quality of it, or was it? Was it the movement itself that made them fall in love with it? And did that hurt?
The beautiful thing about him is Master P, the whole No Limit movement came at a time where it was unheard of for somebody to take the distribution into themselves. He made it fashionable for you to go out and pop the trunk and sell your own CDs. He made it fashionable for you to go ahead and buy your own studio time, record your own stuff, and put your own stuff out, and you could blow up like a big dog in life. Even though some of the stuff wasn't as quality as we would like to have heard, it was the fact that he did it, and he was a testament to young black kids in the hood coming up, especially myself, because I was one of the first in my city to be pumping out the trunk, selling CDs. And man, when that Ice Cream Man dropped, I promise you, like, everybody was motherfucking had a goddamn van pulling up shit out that motherfucker. Like, bro, it sparked a whole revolution to the whole DIY movement. And now that we have all this technology, it's even more crazy, because you don't have to do the work that you used to have to do with getting out and actually physically selling CDs. And so the bar just keeps getting lower and lower. And
exactly,
it's like,
exactly.
That's the thing that pisses me off, is like, it's I love the fact that everybody can do music and has the opportunity to fulfill their dream. But Capo, you said this the other day. Everybody shouldn't pursue the dream of doing music.
Exactly. Not everyone belongs in this game, and that was the difference. There was quality control. There was this net, this fence that would keep the garbage out, and only the good artists could seep through. Let me take that back. Not all of these guys were good artists.
Some just had backing.
Yeah, some of them just had backing, but the majority of artists were at a higher caliber than they are nowadays. And speaking of high caliber artists, I think it's only right that we go ahead and bring on our special guest to chime in on this topic, and we can discuss everything he's got going on. But before we unmute his mic, we need to give him a proper introduction, man. My man is coming from Nashville, Tennessee. He's a true lyricist when it comes to creating music, dropping bars. He does it. And not only that, bro, is what I love about this dude is he doesn't take himself too seriously. He loves to have fun. He'll joke, clown on himself, and still come out and kill you on a track. This is what he's known for. I need y'all to make some noise for the one, the only, our homie, B. Howard. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, there he is. There we go.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, we can hear you, homie. We can hear you. Can you hear us good?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Nice. Absolutely. Let's get it. So man, we're chiming in on this topic. We had to bring you in. We know you got a lot of shit going on in the studio, dropping videos, dropping records, putting in a lot of work. And we appreciate you taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to come rock with us on Audio Meds and just chime in with us, man, because, you know, it's all about supporting and celebrating the culture here on Audio Meds. So it's only right that we bring dope artists such as yourself on.
I appreciate the opportunity to even have a platform to speak. I love y'all's. I've always loved y'all's platform, Cabo, since you've been in the city, man. You've been a staple.
Man, thank you.
You did.
Thank
you, and I always say that. So anything y'all got going on, congratulations on your deal and everything you got going on. Man, we going to keep pushing, man. So it's my pleasure to be on here.
Hey, that's love, bro. That's love. So you heard us talking a little bit about this topic. Were you a Master P fan?
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. So, and I was too. I was a Master P fan. I'm not going to lie. I have I had a gang of his albums, you know, from all the compilations and everything, soundtracks and all that stuff. But some might say that he was that starting point to where the DIY artists started taking over and quality control started dying within the hip hop realm. Do you feel like that there's any truth to that statement?
I think every situation is different. You know what I'm saying? I think that if you are an artist that don't that doesn't have the means to actually, you know, fund this type of thing yourself with whatever type of, you know, funds that you have or somebody backing you, then I don't think there's no bad deal. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think for somebody that doesn't have the funds, all you need your what you're looking for is a platform. Once you get the platform, then hopefully your music will speak for itself to give you that longevity that you want. Now, for somebody else that's like a Dolph, you know what I'm saying, or somebody that's coming in the game, or a Gotti, or somebody that's coming in the game with their own funds and their own operation, then yeah, then you probably want to look for more so a partnership. I don't think it's no bad deal for a nigga. I don't think it's no bad deal for somebody that don't know you that 100 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I say yeah. Sign.
He said sign that shit. Get that money, dog.
If they gonna give you, if they gonna give you 20,000 and you get your show money and you gonna get some show and they believe in you that they can push this record and you get your show money, man, sign that shit. And when that shit blow, because if you don't, then that technically means to me that you don't really believe in it. Go on sign this shit.
Yeah, and me and Bobby have spoke about that before. Like, is there such thing as a bad deal? You know, like, because it's really sometimes
it's a bad deal better than no deal.
Yeah, that's it. It's a bad deal better than no deal. So it's almost like, you know, like what you said, B. Howard, is how do you capitalize off the situation? How do you make the most out of it and turn it around to where you can really generate and, you know, use their platform to grow your fan base? But a lot of times is what happens is you grow that fan base and there's so many, you know, stipulations in the contract and shit that it comes to a point to where, like, we see it right now with someone from our hometown, Young Buck. Like, he can't do shit because he signed a fucked up ass contract with 50 and now he's stuck. You know what I'm saying? And oh. Buck is dope, bro. Like, Buck can rap his ass off. But when it comes to this business shit, like, he can't do shit anymore. You know what I'm saying? And it's hurting him, you know, like, in the long run.
I also say that that's now because Do we believe that, and I love Buck. I think Buck is one of the best rappers, or if not the best rapper out of Nashville, but I'm saying if there's no platform, if there's no 50 platform, is there a million records to even be sold to fuck up?
Oh, so you're saying basically if there was no 50, would he even be the Buck that he is now, right? Oh, okay.
There was a situation that was provided, right? And it's still I'm not saying just Buck. I'm just saying if there's a situation that's provided that allows you to change your family's wealth, if you fuck it up, then you fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end, because, I mean, look, after what was it? It was Straight Outta Cashville that went platinum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight Outta Cashville goes platinum. If and this is, of course, this is Young Buck, a young person with millions of dollars. If he does right by the millions of dollars, he has generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And he has, and there is no beef with 50. Down the road. So it's not, I don't think it's anybody's fault. I think anybody that is offering you a large sum of money to do what you do and you believe in it and they believe in it and you have nothing, then go on and do it. But once you get what you got, then you have some type of power to actually either renegotiate or do what you want to do on your own to either what Gotti did was buy himself out of his contract.
Absolutely. And it's a chess move, not checkers. And there'll be a lot of situations where the deal is like it's blatantly less than favorable, but everybody knows you're in a good situation if you play your cards right. Like, for instance, the deal with Ace Hood and DJ Khaled. Like, you know, a lot of people was kind of disappointed at Ace Hood and said that he left his situation too early, even though that, you know, he went on the Breakfast Club and he was saying it was a bad deal where I was more of a side act and he was a star. But, I mean, you came into a situation that was going to put 10 times the amount of exposure that you would normally on your own. And so, I mean, sometimes, so, you know, you got to play your role.
And that's exactly my point, right? So there's a lot of these artists, right, back in the days where they were signed to labels, right? The labels were funding everything. The labels were hiring professional photographers, hiring A&Rs, hiring, you know, producers, the right people to help create masterpieces. We had some really, really strong projects throughout the 90s and early 2000s. There were some amazing albums, right? And then this whole DIY thing really took over, where now artists are so independent, they're hiring in-house people. They got their homie shooting videos for them, which is wrong. Like there's nothing wrong with that if that's what that person, all they do, you know what I'm saying, if that's their sole dedication and they're good at it, then it makes sense. But is what's happening now is, like what you said, Bobby, is, you know, these people, they you know, Ace Hood was with DJ Khaled. He might have been like, I need more money than what I'm getting with Khaled, and he felt like he wasn't the star, so he could go off on his own. And look what the fuck happened. Khaled shot to the fucking moon. And where the fuck is Ace? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, bro. Working, you know what I'm saying? No one's saying he's not working. But he's not DJ Khaled status. And where could he have been if he stayed with him? Right?
You could be a whole lot more.
But there's a lot of that. And so, okay, so Keeping Up jumped in the comments and he said, when I think about the amount of label heads that didn't sign artists that ended up being huge successes elsewhere, I don't think industry standards always reign supreme. I feel that. I do feel that. But think about how many amazing artists were created by labels that may not have ever been found.
One of the things also, it's not just about the distribution and all that. Another thing comes with the quality control of the DIY artist is the replacement of the producer with the beat maker, because those eras that you're talking about was an era when there was true artist development, when you had producer artist duo combos where they really worked and made songs and worked and developed a sound.
Everybody's
just got a beat maker. They got FL Studio. And yes. You can use the templates to make a beat, but that sound that we, that cohesive sound that producer artist duo to make those,
not only
those sounds what we used to.
I also think this though. We got to think of what we consider what's a successful rapper. Like, for example, we might look at Lil Baby and say, or Drake and say, that's the standard for a successful rapper. I don't. Right. Mm. So, for example, if you're a DIY, if you're a do-it-yourself rapper and you record everything, and let's say you make $250,000 a year, do you know that that's a success? That's a success.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you are a successful, even if you're making $100,000 a year, that is a success. A lot of people that have 9-to-5s or work these jobs they don't make no $100,000 a year.
Exactly. You
know, so if I think we put a label on or a standard on what a successful rapper is, because to me, the most successful rapper in Nashville to me is Lito.
Oh yeah, by far.
By far. Well, yeah. I mean, if we don't count Jelly, then I'm saying that Lito is like the most successful rapper, and he don't look for the shine. He don't look for the you know what I'm saying? And he ain't looking for making millions of dollars, but I'm sure whatever businesses he got, whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's all about kind of what you do with the music is a stepping stone, bro. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Cause we know that you can't rap forever.
Mm-mm. Right. Well, not only that, it's about, you know, taking, because you can only earn so much from the actual music itself. So, I mean, if you notice, a lot of the smart entrepreneur, which is the majority of artists, they're already entrepreneurs within heart. If they're doing it themselves, you know, they're taking on that role of a company, but they have multiple streams of revenue. So it's not only like I'm making money off of music, but I'm also invested in real estate. I have a truck company. You know what I'm saying? I have a restaurant. I mean, DJ Scream just opened up a restaurant. Look at Bun B. He's got Trill Burgers going crazy right now. You know what I'm saying? So you got to look at different ways to generate. But I want to go back a little bit because we were talking about the producer relationships and where there's not a lot of these artists really don't. And this is where, you know, having that team of people and professionals involved, a lot of artists don't know how to pick the right beats. Like they don't, a lot of artists just want to rap over shit, right? But sometimes
a lot of artists want the tight beat. They want the beat that sounds like what's trendy.
But it doesn't always, it's not necessarily doing them justice, right? Like sometimes you got to have that, like Dre and Snoop. Dre fucking knew exactly what type of beats Snoop needed to create a masterpiece, right? Doggy Style, like that shit was,
and then it really boils down to like a lot of artists finding themselves as an artist and a creator because now it's so easy. The bar is so low and everybody can go do it. A lot of people are coming out and like basically they haven't been working on their jump shot, but they in the game.
That's what I was saying. So is what I was getting at was, and that's what I respect about B. Howard is you teamed up with Nice. You guys have created your own sound together and you've been working with him for a minute, right?
Yeah. I mean, we going on like 15 years. So, I'm glad that you brought up Dre and Snoop. I think it's the difference, of course, between a beat maker and a producer. You know, like Nice can make the beat, but he's also gonna produce me and tell me like, I say it like this or say this, and it's completely different. And Nice is not only he's my friend. Like he's been in my wedding. You know what I'm saying? Like this is I go to his house. We go to each other house. We know each other kids. I think that brings out the best as far as the music part. I think now I think everybody's attention span is so short, so where they don't want to build no relationship with nobody. I think the best way to do something, as far as an artist, is find you a producer that believes in you. And y'all create y'all own sound around that. Because if not, you're going to be chasing around stuff that's really not you. It's not even going to sound like you. Your production is not going to sound like you. The person that's recording you is not going to know how to record it because you don't sound right on this particular beat. And so I think production and writing like go hand in hand, and you got to have that particular relationship. Now when you make it, of course you're gonna reach out to these other producers and get other producers and stuff on that to get a different feel. But I think to originate and get your sound and to complement your sound, you have to have one or two guys that's going like, all right, this is what he embodies, and the music that they make embodies what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? Because just really rapping over some shit that really don't even go with what you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying. Is like a lot of artists aren't necessarily the best. You know, they don't choose the best beat selections. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of the shit doesn't compliment them. But that's what, you know, like create when, how long do you feel like it took you to finally find your sound? Cause I know as an artist, it takes time to develop it. And another thing is like, I remember seeing you, commenting, you made a post or something about how you posted this video from you years ago. And you're like, this is when I was doing this. And you know, you were kind of poking fun at yourself, about how you were doing something that wasn't really you. And then, you know, now you feel like you're comfortable in your skin and you're doing more music that is actually what you're living. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when do you feel like you made it through that, and how long did it take you to actually find yourself as an artist?
When people think that it's just jamming and they don't feel it, that's when you feel out. That when it just sounds good, when it just sounds good, you're hot or you feel like but when they don't feel anything after that, then that's when you need to switch it up and go to actually who you are as a person. You know what I'm saying? And that's when I figured it out. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm doing some music that I think that people want to hear. But if I do some shit that I want to do, then people want to hear, people that can relate to exactly what I'm saying are going to gravitate to it. And once I figured that out, I was like, ah, okay. And then it's more gratifying, regardless of the numbers, regardless of the numbers of how many people listen to it or not. It's gratifying to me if one person will inbox me and say, man, this shit right here got me through today. This shit right here told their story, or, you know what I'm saying? Something heartfelt, something like that. That's when I won. And I was like, all right, cool. And I don't care how the numbers is, I'm going to always just be powered. And that's no pun intended. Right, but right. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And it just, the music started to get better when you just started to tell the truth that rhymes. You know what I'm saying? That's what hip hop originated. Mm-hmm. It was the truth. It was the truth that was going on that just happened to rhyme. You did what I'm saying? And so, mm-hmm. you know, of course you got to put some flavor in it, some more sauce in it, some swag and all of this stuff in it. But that's the only thing that I want to do is I'm going to bring you my truth, people around me that can relate to my truth that rhyme. And that's when I figured it out. I was like, I ain't got to really do what I think that everybody else want to do. Because here's the thing. Hip hop is a huge interstate, is what I say. It's a huge interstate with probably like 6 or 7 lanes, right? Okay. Like, you got your trap lane, you got your drug dealer lane, you got your stripper music lane, you got your backpack music lane, you got all these different lanes. There's a lane for everybody.
Absolutely.
And especially with the internet, there's a lane for everybody. Man, I could click a button and be out in the world somewhere and somebody can feel it. Somebody can feel it.
It's crazy. We the same on that, on the B Howard. I equate it to the lunchroom table, like a high school lunchroom table. There's a section for everybody. No matter whether you're a football player or a weird dude. But yeah, man. So speaking of the music, B Howard, man, I know you're fire. Capo know you're fire. But there's a lot of new listeners on here who may not be hip to you just yet. But we're about to put them on. We got some records from you. Okay. So we got this this 3 a.m. record. 3 a.m. on Broadly.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, before we play these people, this music, we want to give you an opportunity to kind of paint the picture, get them on the same page, mentally, spiritually, sonically. What was going through your mind when you created this magic that we're about to embark on?
This was probably my most honest and truthful song ever, I've ever made. The artwork, if you look on any platform, is a picture of my car literally on the edge, almost about to go into my neighbor's house. And I went out, had some drinks, a lot of drinks, and came home, made it home, but just didn't put the car in park. And then there you have the, you know, had to get the tow truck. But, you know, I had been dealing with that for a while as far as like, you know, really, I mean, alcoholism, I ain't gonna lie. You know, alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And dealing with that, and that was my therapy of trying to, and that's what the video was about. It was just me basically saying, hey man, I'm admitting it. I got an issue. I got a problem at it. Mm-hmm. You know, you think I'm this way, but you know, it's really something different. And that was really going through my mind, and I made that song probably. I wrote that song probably 2 days after that car almost went into my neighbor's house.
Okay, all right. I mean, so there's some truth to that picture. There's not just Photoshop, but so yeah, and, y'all heard it, man.
The accident. In 2005, I fell asleep at the wheel and almost died. Man, I flipped my car.
Oh shit!
Was ejected from the car. I still picked glass out of my back from that. It's got a lot of, it's all truthful. So this is probably one of my most personal records.
All right, man. And, so y'all heard it, man. We about to tap in, man. Make sure y'all tap that button to check, man. B Howard, 3 a.m. on Broadly. Let's go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Yeah, man. Okay. Okay, if y'all just tapping in, man, it's the audio, man. It's the DJ Bobby Hustle, that Vato Capo. We got a super duper special guest on the line, B Howard, and that was his record, 3 a.m. on Briley.
Yo, bro. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yo, so much. That shit was real as fuck. And that's, yo, me and Bobby, we always go through artist catalogs to pick out which records we want to play. And it's not so much about, of course, you know, we want to play what's new, but it's also not so much about what's new, and it's about just playing the hottest shit that we feel fits for what we do and what we like to listen to and what we love to celebrate. And that right there is a master pen, bro. Like, the shit mm-hmm. that you were talking, not only did you make yourself so vulnerable, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's what people relate to. B Howard said he can't hear.
I can hear you. Can y'all hear us in the chat?
Tap the mic button. Yeah, Legend Talk, fire record. We appreciate that, homie. Can y'all hear us? Are y'all able to hear us in the chat? Let us know in the chat if you can hear what we're saying right now. B Howard just texted me. He says he can't hear us.
Maybe you need to disconnect and reconnect. Just try that real quick. Well, he can't hear me say that.
That was like, what was that? Was who you telling, bro?
Right.
All right, yo. Okay, Legend Talking still here, so obviously okay. It's something on his end. But yeah, definitely a dope record, man. And that's what we look forward to. We love hearing artists. I feel like that's when you connect with the artist, man. Is when
you can relate to. And I was just about to say, like, that record right there speaks volumes to me on, like, being up late night on the road, nodding off, trying to make it to where you got to go. It's like you got 40 miles left, but it's like, man, I don't want to go pull over and sleep, but I know I can make it. But and it's like, man, I gotta get this bag back home to the fam. But it's like, bro, man, like, man, that's
yeah, that's yeah. Jarilla said that track was painfully good, and that's I feel him though, you know what I'm saying? Because listening to that and knowing, you know, B Howard personally, you know what I'm saying, it makes you think like, damn, I hate to hear someone going, so one of the homies right. going through something like that, you know what I'm saying, and having that type of struggle. And alcoholism is real, bro. Like,
I think he's back. B Howard,
is he back?
I see the face. You gotta hit the button.
There we go. Yeah. All right.
So
I don't know where you lost us at, but we were saying about how vulnerable you were in that record, and just laying out that truth. And that's something that when me and Bobby go through artist catalogs, we kind of just go through and pick out the type of stuff that we want to hear that fits for what we celebrate here on Audio Meds. And that was one of those records. It's not so much about what's new, what's old, you know what I'm saying, like what's trending, anything like that. It stuck out to us because how real it is, man, and we mm-hmm. felt it to the core. So yeah, man, we really appreciate you writing something like that, man, because there's not a lot of that shit no more, you know what I'm saying?
No, it wrote itself. I mean,
that's real.
It did. Like, literally, it wrote itself. And like, I knew I was struggling with something. You know, I've definitely cut back. But like, that was definitely a problem I was dealing with. You know what I'm saying? And that was kind of like the pinnacle of it. It was like, dude, like, you need to chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could die. And it was to help me, but it was also to help somebody else to realize, like, hey, just like, hey, chill, man. Like, you got something to live for. I mean, like, you know, this shit can happen in a blink of an eye, you know, and you can lose control of it. So that's probably one of my favorite records, like, I've ever made.
Absolutely. And one of the things about it is, like, I think that alcoholism is not talked about enough in the entertainment business, because, like, that's something that gets so swept up under the rug. Cause, like, mm-hmm. I've been in situations, you know, back when I was with Dallas, and like, it'd be some rock star shit on the outside, but it's like, you party all night, y'all drink four bottles of Don Julio Patron, whatever, you wake up 10 a.m. and y'all take more shots and do it again. And it's like, it's a normal thing. And nobody, like, you're an alcoholic, bro. And it's like, because you're rich and famous, and it's like, it's a party every time, doesn't mean you're not an alcoholic because you're not in a dirty wife beater beating on your wife, but like,
because you're rich, it's because you're rich is different. Like, nah, right. bro. Yeah, like, I mean, that shit, you know, I mean,
it's celebratory. It's not it's not depression drinking, like, you know what I'm saying, like I said, it's not depression, it's excessive. Like, Like, we can have some more fun if we drink till it's gone. I never, like, if I've ever felt sad or anything like that, that's the last thing I want to do is drink. But, right. like, something great is happening, oh, we're going to drink the whole bottle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if you're an entertainer, I can see how that can they can fall into that. If you're an entertainer, every day is a party. Every day, you're successful every day. So, you know, what did Drake say? Didn't Drake have a line like, we celebrate our successes, we drank to our successes every day. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Every day.
That's every day. Real, man.
Yeah. I mean, I know when we were touring, it was hard, bro, because you're touring and not only did the promoters provide alcohol, but they provide everything else. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times you would pull up to a city and they have the green room full of bottles. You know, on the bus, there's bottles and it's just hard not to drink. And then you catch yourself. It's like before the show, you're having to take shots. All right, now we're done performing. All right, now we got to take more shots. Let's drink more. Oh, shit. Let's, you know, go back to we're kicking. Let's drink more. It's like, and that cycle never stops. But then, you know, you start getting some of these guys who start mixing the alcohol with pills and and it becomes like I need some uppers to stay awake, I need some downers to go to sleep, like, you know what I'm saying, like that shit,
you know,
is
you know what's the craziest shit that I done heard that
Jarilla said I'm sad now.
Right, I don't want to say the celebrities doing, but a lot of people are on this new wave that I've heard about. I don't fuck around with the fuck around, but these IV clinics, are you familiar with the IV clinics? So it's like basically they flush you with an IV to give you your energy back. And like a lot of touring artists and entertainers are becoming addicted to the IV clinics.
Mm. You
know, that's like outrageous.
That's anything though. I mean, you could be addicted to anything that becomes normal. I mean, anything that's good. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, an IV after you're dehydrated is actually good. I wouldn't say it's addicted. I would say that you're dependent on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all right, I can drink this much because I know there's an IV pack with me tomorrow. I don't think you're addicted to it. It's just that you're dependent on it. You know what I'm saying? But the source of it is like, you got to have some discipline to like, all right, man, chill out. Like, and I've tried to adopt this, you know, I'm a working man, you know, I'm a family man, I'm a husband, I'm a father. So like, I've adopted this thing and we're like, all right, cool. I ain't gonna drink. If I gotta work tomorrow, I ain't gonna drink. You know what I'm saying? Like Friday and Saturday might be my days. You know what I'm saying? But like, you know, for an entertainer that's out here doing this full time, hey man, you celebrating every day and you're just depending on the IV to bounce.
Yeah. That's like me when I was a real heavy DJing on the club circuit, man. It was like every night I had to take two shots to get in my zone. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that was my thing. Two shots in the blunt. All right. Now I can start work. And then there's still drinks every night, you know, throughout the whole night. But real quick, I'll be Howard, back on the music though, man. So, you know, listening to that record, like your voice, I listened to a few of your records, man. You got a crisp voice. And I know you've been talking about, you've been working with the same producer honing your sound. Let me ask you this, as an artist in the studio, do you have a specific template setup or vocal chain that you like to use? You know, a lot of artists like T-Pain carries his own thumb drive with his auto-tune settings in it. Is there something specific for you that you do in the studio?
It varies depending on the tone of the record. I think Nice kind of plays with some of the templates, depending on the tone of the record, he might, you know, put this on that. You know, I talk like I rap, so it's not really like hard. It's not like far from it. You know what I'm saying? But to make it sound like a lot cooler, you know, sometimes, you know, he might mess with the voice, especially if I'm doing some type of melody or something. Of course, we'll rock with a template or something like that, though.
Right. Yeah. So you ain't at the point where you go to the studio with a steel briefcase with a mic, but like, I got to use this mic.
No. If I go to a different studio, I'll record it there, but I'm probably going to send it to Nice afwards and be like, hey, you know, let's put me on it, you know, if it don't sound exactly, you know, that same way.
So how do you guys, because obviously you have, there's quality control within the camp. Like you guys, I don't hear you putting out anything garbage. I mean, production wise, you know, lyrics, everything is on point. You know, artwork, all that stuff is on point. So how do you feel about currently? Like, do you feel like the game is lacking quality control within, I'm not even going to say the younger generation, just the generation now?
Quality control. I wouldn't say quality. I think that everything is being put out as quality. I think that I don't think that any of it is original. If you listen to it, and I can't be mad. Here's the thing: I can't be mad at it because everything previously, even in the olden days, was a sample. But now, like, we're getting samples from like the 2000s. You know what I'm saying? And you're just recreating something that happened 20 years ago that I thought was original back then. And I thought that was great. But now you're just recreating and they're just putting a whole bunch of pussies and dicks and ass and all that shit on top of it, which tarnishes and ruins it for me.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But man, if you listen to the Chronic, I was listening to it earlier today, and that song "D's Nuts." That shit's hilarious, bro. And
W balls,
right? So that's what I'm saying is like a lot of that shit. It wasn't too far off from what we're listening to now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like as you mature, though, like some of that shit just
I was with the oldest, and then somebody put
like a sexy red or like one of them like a Sukiana post up or something like that, and it was like kind of mad, and I was like, if we call Uncle Luke a legend, then we can't get mad. We can't get mad at what they doing,
right?
Right. Yeah. They only know what they was taught. Uncle taught them that.
We can't be mad at what women are doing now. I'm cringing because I have daughters. I got three daughters, so it's kind of like hard for me for them to sing those type of lyrics. But if we were championing those lyrics back when they first came out, when Luke and all them was doing it, we call Uncle Luke a legend. Then we can't really get mad when the rabbit got the gun.
But at the same time, it's like at the age that I was calling Luke a legend, I was ignorant. You know what I'm saying? Like I was also doing a lot of other dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? So like at this point, I would look at Uncle Luke and be like, "Damn, dog!" Like, you know what I'm saying? Like some of that shit, I just, you know, I've got four daughters. Be Howard, so I'm in the same boat.
If Pop That Pussy and Doo-Doo Brown came on right now, I'm dancing.
Hey, you pulling out a drink of water right
now. Yo, all right, I'm not mad at that because I'd probably be right there with you, dog. Like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Doo-doo Brown.
Right.
Come on, man.
But yeah,
she's saying the pussy ping the booty hole around. He was saying doo-doo
every
Brown.
Show, boy, mm-hmm.
right? Somebody every, bring it up here. I mean, she's doing her job. Like, absolutely, she's doing her kudos to her because she can't get stopped talking about
every show, dog. But that's what we're saying. I mean, Trina was doing it, Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown. I mean, it's been around. Even Roxanne Shanté was talking nasty on tracks. There was a lot of it, man. So but yeah, so I mean, and that you got to stay on point with it, man. And I feel like we're losing that aspect of where it's so easy to do it. Bobby, you say it all the time. If you load it up to a DSP, you're in the music business, right? Like once it's distributed, you're in the music business. So I feel like there's too many people, you know what I'm saying? We're fishing in this lake.
The difference is back when Luke was doing it, he was the anomaly. He was the outcast. Mm. Now that's the standard. And skill is the back burner. You know what I'm saying? I think now that the roles are reversed, I think that's what old niggas is mad about. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think the niggas was mad about when Luke was doing his thing because they didn't think that shit would do nothing. He doing his thing. That's his lane. But now that is the actual mainstream, when WAP can be the number one record in America, and you get a Rick Ross record or you know what I'm saying, a Wayne record that can't even get no play. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Somebody talking they talk. that's when I think that's when the problem in not, you know, older hip hop heads would be like, hold on, man, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. No, so, I feel that.
Right, right. So speaking of quality control again, so B. Howard, with this new revolution of DSPs, all this MP3 digital music streaming on your phones, mod on speaker, does mixing matter anymore? So many people are instantly recording the song and then distributing it the next day, not even going through the whole mix and master phase. And does that matter anymore? Do people care anymore?
When we can tell it's really, really bad, absolutely. Like, but I mean, I don't know, but I think that's just my ear. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, the youth ear might not even care about the quality. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I always said, I mean, I've started to say that I don't think anything is trash anymore. When I hear something and it's something new, I don't hear it's trash. I just say it's just not
objective.
It's not me. You know what I'm saying? That my ear is not trained to hear, because all I'm hearing is, oh, that snare is flat. It's hissing.
Yeah, you know, there's no EQ. Yes.
That's what I was hearing. But like, all you're hearing is the bop, and you know.
Yep. Not only that, is like, you got to think like what they're listening to it on. Most of these kids are listening to music on like phones and through AirPods. Yeah, AirPods, and so if it's
mastered, it's supposed to sound the same everywhere.
No, that's what I'm saying though. It's like, so if you get good shit on everything you put it on, it's gonna sound good, right? But if it's not mixed and you're listening to it on these small ass speakers, you can't really hear you can't hear how horrible it is, because right, it's already on like lower right quality sound. But you go and take that shit and put it on a sound system in a club, god damn, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like, what the Muddy fuck? You ain't gonna be able to hear the vocals, the beat, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be one or the other.
By that time the record's already hot, so it don't even matter. You know what I mean? Like, by that time they playing it on the big speakers, it's already hot.
But does that make it right though? You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point it's like, because eventually it's gonna be like me, man, I invest money into quality sound. Like, I can't listen to shit unless it's high quality. I gotta have the best monitors. I want to listen to my shit crisp. I want it to sound.
You're also a music snob, man. Like,
for sure. Maybe that's a bad example.
They just want to dance. So okay, B. Howard, man. Okay, man. OG, man. So, you're a smart guy, man. You know what we do here at the show. I ain't even really got to like slide it in on you, man. We just about to twist your arm and give you this Indian burn. You
know, false. You
know, intended. You know what I mean? But you know, we're about to play the game, bro. We're about to play the game, man. You know what we got to do, son.
Let's do it.
That's right. It's time for Street Smarts Trivia with your host, DJ Bobby Hustle, and that Vato Capo.
Guaranteed to get you plugged. Ding! All right. So, if you're new to the show, or if you've seen the show, then you know what time it is. It's time to play the game, Street Smarts Trivia. What we do, a little bit of hip-hop trivia. All we're going to do is ask you a question, and all you got to do is just give us an answer. That easy.
Okay.
First category.
To the 80s or something, man. I'm screwed.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, come on. You know this. You got this. First category, hip-hop history. What is the name of the Chicago-based record label that has been instrumental in the careers of many notable hip-hop artists, including Kanye West and Chance the Rapper? Is it
A, Reckless Records?
I ain't got to hear it. That's good music.
Is that your final answer?
It is my final answer.
Hey, okay. Low hanging fruit.
That's the apples that's already on the ground, man. You ain't got to get on your tippy toes. They right there already on the ground.
He said apple already on the ground.
Yeah, you got to get on your tippy toes. All right, all right. This one right here is called.
Excuse me, I'm gonna need to see some identification. ID check.
We're gonna read your government name. All you got to do is tell us who it is. My government name is Michael Lawrence Tyler. Am I
A, Tyler the Creator, B, Killer Mike, or C, Mystical?
Michael, I think that's Killer Mike, though.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, they're my finances.
It was mystical.
Yep. Okay.
Y'all got that off the rape charges and stuff.
Well, we just pulled his record offline.
You hit him with a low blow.
I should have known that. The only nigga in jail allowed for that.
We figured you would have known that though.
Yeah, you 50-50 right now. Okay, Capo, I think this is your favorite category.
Man, who said that shit?
All right, you already know what time it is, man. I'm going to read you some lyrics. All you have to do is tell us who said that shit, all right? Okay. And don't be trying to come around my girl acting like Mr. Friendly and steal the spotlight like Mr. Bentley. I spotted her like Spud McKenzie. And for them fake boobies, I paid them Benjis. Who said that shit?
Hello. Can you say one more time? Hold on.
Okay. All right, he's Google fingers, Bobby. He's Google fingers over here.
No Google fingers.
I ain't doing it.
All right, ready? Okay. Don't be trying to come around my girl acting like Mr. Friendly steal the spotlight like Mr. Bentley.
That's yay.
I spotted her like Spud McKenzie. And for them fake boobies, I paid them Benjis.
Yeah, that's yay. Braggadocious shit.
What song? Do you know what song it was?
I think it was off of Graduation, though. I don't know. I know it's Backpack Kanye, though. Fuck.
We'll give it to him. He said, the question is, who said that shit? And that's who said it. Kanye West.
What he said it on. Okay.
That would have been an extra bonus point if he got what record it was. Then that would have took him up and the other question he missed, we would have just wiped that shit.
Yeah. Shit in a row. But hey, you did.
He wasn't knowing talking is Bobby. He wasn't knowing talking.
Man, you did 2 out of 3, man. That's like a 70%. That'll get you into community college. Niggas get rich in community college.
I'll tell you.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Yes, Slum Village. Hey, if y'all just tapping back in, man, this is the Audio Mez of this Thursday. It's DJ Bobby Hustling that Vato Capo, and we got a super duper special guest on the line.
That's how I always know when we have a special guest that's dope, because Bobby always has to hit him with the super duper.
Yeah, not everybody gets the duper, man. Not everybody gets the duper.
Right? Not everyone gets the duper. That's it, man. But yeah, B-Howard, so we know you've been cooking, man. You got a lot of shit going on. You actually just, well, first, before I get into this new record that you got with the video and stuff, I want to jump into something that came out in 2021, man. And that was the Claude and Ray project that you did. You and Stan linked up and created this project. What was the thought process? Because I love the concept behind it. And, you know, even with some of the visuals where you guys were, even in makeup, dressed like old dudes and like looked like you were like in your 70s and shit, like, definitely out of the box, man. And you always have a lot of creative marketing strategies, man. But what was the thought process and idea going into the Claude and Ray?
The Claude and Ray happened like accident, man. It was really just me and my dog. I would just go over his crib on a weekday. We'll go over there, get drunk, just hang out together. And then like one day we was like, hey, you want to make a record? And I already had a record from Chino that I had already done. I was like, it was Dope Boys. I was like, man, you just get on that. And then that's what sparked it. And I think we used to do these lives. You know, we used to do like Instagram lives or Facebook lives. And somebody on there said, man, y'all act like Claude and Ray. Y'all act like Claude and Ray. And the rest was history. Like, you know, 6 months later, we had a record, and, you know, we had all the records, and we just just vibed out, man. The first one, we just vibed out, really, man. I just go over there. It was a release for both of us. You know, we both married, kids, and, you know, go over there once a week, hang out, have a couple of drinks, and make some dope music. It just came out right and organic, and it ended up dope. The makeup part, of course, was, you know, of course, the play on the Claude and Ray, and, you know, every record has a reference in it as Claude and Ray. You know, it might not be based on it, but it has some type of reference in it.
Yeah.
But it came out pretty good. I think everybody liked it.
Super dope. Super dope project. Super dope concept.
Claude and Ray, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But no, but I also love how you're really creative with the marketing strategies, man. And like I said in the intro, man, you like to have fun and don't take yourself so seriously, man. Like even in this new video that you just recently dropped with a Nashville legend, Lil Vac from Bezel Gang, the In a Year record. At the end of it, it's funny, like you over there with all that, with a stack of money, and you hand it back to him. It's like, you think people will notice that I'm holding your money and shit? Like, fucking hilarious, man. That's shit that rappers don't do, you know what I'm saying? So what is it in you, man, that, because, you know, a lot of people are self-conscious when it comes to shit like that, and trying to be, not even trying to be, but just letting that part of them, you know, loose and be, and having fun with it.
I think that's the confidence in itself. That's the ultimate confidence, is actually being yourself, man. I mean, like I keep saying it, but like, my name is B Howard. I'm gonna be that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm gonna always feel like I'm dope enough. Like, even if you challenge it, I'm still dope enough to whoop your ass on the track. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't no hoe anyway. So, I mean, I'm gonna take it there anyway. But I'm just saying, like, I've never been in the streets like that. I tried to sell some weed like at one point in time, and that shit didn't work. I think a nigga sold me like a whole stem in the bag one time.
Damn.
And I could never get it off. And you know, I've been around the hood a lot, you know what I'm saying? But like, I've embraced that, you know, basically who I am, and I'm cool with that. And I think that people that are in the streets actually respect that. You know what I'm saying? They respect squares. I mean, when I say square, like, I mean, go by the book, I'm a civilian. You dig what I'm saying? So I think people in the street respect, because they ultimately want to be there. Nobody in the street actually really want to be there.
Right. But I don't think you had to say square, because, like, you're far from that. You're civilian, yeah. And, like, me and Capo, we go back and forth all the time. Like, do you have to be from the streets to be hip hop? Do you have to be from the hood?
This is an example, but
the thing about it is, like, yeah, you try to sell some weed that ain't your thing, but nigga, you still a bop a motherfucker in the face. So like, you still from the hood just because you don't sell drugs.
Like even squares are from the hood though. So like, you
I guess you're redefining what a square is, because like a civilian in the square.
When I say squares, I'm defining what a street nigga would say. Now, he's a square. It's not a derogatory
term,
to me. Like, when it, nah, he a square, he cool. Like, he cool, he play basketball, he a square, he cool. Like, that's what I mean by square. I ain't mean like lane, because, you know what I'm saying, bras never been a problem for me ever. You know what I'm saying, being cool ain't never been a problem for me. You know what I'm saying? Being cool with street niggas ain't never been a problem for me. So I can fit in with both ways. But I think, going back to the video, I wanted to, because the sound of it, sonically, it sounded like a street record. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted to play on that part of it in the video to be like, you know what? Hey, I'm gonna get, like I said in the video, the G's of G's, one of the legends in Nashville that's known for that type of rap, to get on the record and let y'all know that I can fit in, even though I'm gonna do a parody to make it look like, you know what I'm saying, I'm this on the record. But nah, I had fun with that, and Vac has always been one of my favorite rappers in Nashville, period. And the reason why he's one of my favorite rappers is because, just like me, he's one of the most genuine people, like, period. Like, I, you know what I'm saying, like, he's a genuine person. He is what he is. He's never gonna lie to you. Always gonna show up when he gonna show up. and he can rap, and he's believable. And so,
real shit.
Yeah,
it was perfect. It was perfect.
Okay. Okay. So B Howard. So we got this other record from you.
Okay.
You know, Men Capo, we be digging through the catalog, and okay. So this record in a year. Now yeah. We all know a lot could happen in a year, but a year goes by real quick. So you know. Definitely could you, the people that aren't familiar with this record and people just tuning in today familiar with you, can you kind of give us a little backstory of how this magic came about?
I was listening to a new ESTG record, and I love ESTG. And I heard the whatever cadence that he had and the bop that he had, and I think I wrote like a verse or something to that particular beat. I told Nice about the verse, and I said, man, can you make me a beat on this particular tempo? And you were like, yeah, we can do it. And it came out as that. I think the biggest line in that is, you know, don't cut his head, just cut his bread. It kill itself in a year. Like, you know, hey, you ain't got to do nothing to him. You know what I'm saying? And I think this is like more for like putting your sugar on your broccoli. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know what they want to hear. I don't necessarily have that as far as me being a street nigga, but I know it's going to sound like that. But maybe they'll get something from it and then get the stamp, the validity from somebody that they believe in fact. And then hope. There you go.
There it is.
All right. So for y'all tuning in, this is B Howard. We're about to play this record right here called In a Year. Make sure y'all do what we always do on Audio Meds, and that is tap that plus button and turn it to a check.
Let's go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Audio Meds, they're good for you.